Good morning. It is 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Thursday, August 16th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. Earlier this week, we told you about a bear that broke into a house in Haines while the family was home. Something similar has happened Wednesday in Ketchikan, only this time it was a hotel. A bear walked into Cape Fox Lodge Wednesday morning, checked out the coffee shop, and visited the women's restroom before it was ushered back outside by hotel staff. Dave Hayes, who works for Cape Fox Lodge, says the bear showed up around 11:15 a.m. He talked to KRBD's Layla Carey shortly after the incident that morning at the hotel.
Oh, we had a bear come in the building. It started running around in our lobby, about the size of a big Newfoundland. In fact, that's what I thought it was at first, was a dog in the lobby, but went to look, and it was in our coffee shop, and it turned out to be a big cub. And it went in there for a while, and then we chased it, and it went through the lobby. And
were there people in the coffee shop?
Our new employee, so we wanted to see if she would stay. So we tested her. She'd worked out great. She wasn't afraid at all. We had some tourists in the lobby taking pictures of it, going around the lobby and then out towards the back. And then it went into the ladies' bathroom and stared in the mirror for a couple minutes. And
so how'd you get it out?
We just kind of blocked its way and kind of chased it out the back door. Little by little, it couldn't get past us, and we finally got it out the back door.
So it wasn't aggressive at all?
No, not at all. It wasn't scared. It never growled. You know, went up to it within a foot and a half, and it just sat there and looked at you like, what are you doing? I'm here walking. It wasn't afraid. You would have thought it was a pet. You know, just a little bit skittish pet. Yeah, like I say, no fear whatsoever of people.
And this whole thing lasted about how long?
10 minutes. About 10 minutes it stayed in the building, and then it chased it off out the back way.
Do you guys have a bear policy?
Well, if they wear a shirt and tie, they can come in. We try to discourage it, but the tourists liked it. They all had their pictures. And, they can tell all their friends that they stay at a hotel with a bear.
That's Dave Hayes of the Cape Fox Lodge in Ketchikan talking to radio station KRBD about a bear that paid a visit to the hotel Wednesday morning. Melting sea ice in the Arctic is opening the door to increased maritime traffic, which brings with it risks, opportunity, and the need for safe harbors and services like search and rescue. Those are a few of the issues participants are tackling at a conference hosted by the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the Institute of the North in Anchorage. KNBA's Jacqueline Estes has more.
Organizers are hoping the week of the Arctic conference will raise awareness of what they call the critical challenges and issues at stake in the Arctic. U.S. senior Arctic official Julie Gorley told more than 100 people at a Tuesday luncheon, Arctic issues are becoming a higher priority in Washington, D.C. She's the U.S. representative to the Arctic Council, a forum of the eight nations with land above the Arctic Circle. She says U.S. participation in the most recent council meeting changed perceptions.
Secretary Clinton, Secretary Sells, our Lieutenant Governor Treadwell, Senator Murkowski, all were there, and it was by far the highest level and most powerful delegation we've ever sent. And I think that sent a really good, strong message to the other Arctic states who, frankly, have often complained that the U.S. is some sort of reluctant Arctic power and, you know, we're not really all that serious about it. And in some respects, that's not inaccurate.
As further evidence of growing U.S. interest, she notes the federal government is stepping up participation in Arctic research and policy decision-making. Speaking on behalf of the North Slope Borough, former Mayor Jake Adams says raised awareness is good as long as everyone recognizes the interests of the Inupiaq.
We want a seat at the table to have a say what happened. And the fair and stable share of any revenues that may come off Alaska's Arctic coast. And development must find ways to support the culture and the communities of the North Slope.
Adams says Indigenous people deserve a strong role in managing the impacts of development because they'll be most affected by them and because of their ties to their homelands.
Arctic policy must include the people of the Arctic. We are experts on the Arctic environment. Our people have lived there for thousands of years. We have subsisted on the tundra and the ocean. This is our home. We should be the first to be consulted when it comes to assessing the impacts of Arctic development.
Gourley says Indigenous people have permanent participant status in the Arctic Council, which gives them a formal role in consultation and participation. The Council includes six non-governmental organizations representing Aleut, Athabascan, Gwich'in, Inuit, and Nordic and Russian Indigenous people of the Arctic. The governing members of the Arctic Council are representatives of Canada, Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, Russia, Sweden, and the United States. Gourley says other countries can participate as observers.
There was sort of grappling with this, how do we handle all of these countries that are not in the Arctic, but that many of whom have clear Arctic interests? How do we deal with bringing them into this animal? Both from a political perspective, and there is a lot of fear, nervousness, curiosity about what China's interests are and what their intentions are in that region of the world, but also from a practical perspective of since this is an intergovernmental forum, and each country that takes on the chairmanship for 2 years assumes all the costs, the bigger this thing grows, the more expensive it gets to run.
Gourley says countries that have applied for or expressed an interest in gaining observer status include Japan, South Korea, India, Singapore, and the European Union. Arctic Council policies and guidelines are not binding on members, but do provide a way for nations to work out solutions. For instance, Arctic Council members have come up with an agreement on search and rescue and are working out details of an agreement to prevent oil spills. The Arctic Council is also looking at topics such as flora and fauna, pollutants, infrastructure, research, and security. The week of the Arctic Conference continues in Anchorage through Saturday. In Anchorage, I'm Jacqueline Estes.
Alaska's workforce is much more racially diverse than the nation as a whole, according to some new analysis from the Alaska Department of Labor. KDLG's Mike Mason explains.
Each month, researchers with the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development include much of their analysis in the free publication Alaska Economic Trends. This month, economist Neil Fried examined the diversity in Alaska's workforce.
You know, when you look at Alaska, not only is it, you know, on a percent basis more diverse than the rest of the countries, but you also have, you know, significant representation by a lot of different groups. And I think that's what's also interesting. You know, so I think in the real sense of the word diversity, I mean, it really is, I mean, even by the simple definition, we're more diverse than the rest of the country. But by a maybe even more sophisticated definition, we're also even that much more diverse than the nation as a whole. There certainly are other places in the country that are as diverse or even more diverse than Alaska.
Nationally, 75.8% of workers are white and 15% are Hispanic, 11.6% are black, and 5% are Asian. In Alaska, 71.3% of workers are white, 5% are Hispanic, 3.4% are black, and 6% are Asian. Perhaps the biggest difference between the nation as a whole and Alaska is the large percentage of Alaskan Native workers. Nationally, just 0.7% of workers are Native, but in Alaska, the percentage is 11.4%. The Department of Labor confirms that Alaska has the highest percentage of Natives in the nation. He notes that the Hispanic workforce in Alaska has grown by over 63% between the year 2000 and 2010.
You know, it's the third fastest growing ethnic group at 64% in the last decade. And Hispanic's a little different. It's really considered an ethnicity and not race, which really means that you can be African American and Hispanic, white and Hispanic, etc. But I think it really is sort of following the national trends, and I think most of these groups are. Another interesting one is the two or more category. You know, that was an identification that started in the 2000 census where people could identify themselves as more than one race. And Alaska, as a population-wise, we have the second largest group of people that identify themselves as two or more. And a very large group in that two or more category, one of those identifications are Native American, or in Alaska's case, in most cases, it's Native Alaskan.
At last report, 5.6% of workers in Alaska label themselves as two or more races. Nationally, just 1.8% of workers label themselves as two or more races. While Alaska's labor force is considered quite diverse, Fried says that diversity will likely only increase in the coming years.
But when you look at these numbers, and these are the labor force, these are people generally that are 16 years and older, and most of them are much older than that, the labor force is actually significantly less diverse than the overall population and much less diverse than the school population. When you look at the school population in Alaska, it's basically 50% white and 50% non-white. So it's much more diverse. And that's our future workforce, are those kids that are in school today. And so I can talk to you and say there's almost 100% certainty that our labor force will continue to be increasingly become diverse over time, because that workforce is already here. A lot of it is already here, but it just hasn't gotten old enough. And what that really means is that for many of the non-white population, not all, but most, their median age tends to be significantly younger. For example, Alaska Native and other populations. So that will be reflected in the future as that younger population that may be not part of the labor force yet will become part of the labor force in the future. So that increase in diversity in Alaska's labor force is certain to continue.
The data about the racial diversity in the workforce in Alaska is included in the August edition of Alaska Economic Trends. It's a free publication from the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. The document can be downloaded from the department's website. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, visit us online at kcaw.org.